Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to yet another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X, live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. I am Mike Salmon, but I am merely overshadowed by the great Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Where do you put all those awards? That's what I want to know.
I have a closet back at the house.
Nice.
I can't fit them in the studio here.
That's right. And how soon until the door can't close to the closet after all these award-winning shows?
It takes up a room right now already.
Well, as a former tech grad, I always want to know the math and how much area is left.
Gotcha.
That.
How much square footage?
Exactly.
I need more square footage because of all the awards.
Yes.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Good
you
to be back.
You were on a wonderful trip with the family, and tell us what you did.
So I have a lovely wife who there's 5 million reasons why I married her, and the number one of the top five reasons is because she loves baseball like I do. We decided 5 years ago that we would start taking family vacations to baseball parks. So this year was St. Louis, Kansas City, and it was fantastic. Kids loved it. Both of those cities are very underrated for the things you can do other than watching good baseball.
That's great. Well, welcome back. Glad to have you back.
I missed you, Mike.
Oh, I missed you too, Stephen.
Thanks.
We've got a couple wonderful guests here in the studio. Greg Lang is with Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett, and Jay Moran is with Followed Social Media for Business. We're going to start with Greg. Greg, welcome to the program.
It's great to be back. Thanks for the invitation.
We've had you before, but it's been quite a while, and a lot of things are happening at Good Samaritan. So give us, first of all, a brief overview of what your organization does.
We are a nonprofit medical ministry serving the poor and uninsured of the North Metro area.
Okay, so kind of go a little bit more into your services exactly, and give us your location.
Okay.
And then tell us the great news with your organization.
Well, presently we're at 3700 Club Drive in Lawrenceville, just off of Pleasant Hill and 85. We've been there 11 years. We're in a small old building, 4,300 square foot building, where we serve nearly 100 people a day. We're providing primary health care and pharmacy services to people that are sick and in need, but because they don't have that magic insurance card, can't find affordable services elsewhere. And my prior visits on the show were to talk about our capital campaign and our plans to move and expand. And I'm very happy to say that my new address is 5949 Buford Highway in Norcross. We will be occupying that building beginning on July the 18th. And we are tripling our size. We have a 13,000 square foot building.
Wow.
We are doubling our parking.
Because parking was a major issue at the old location.
We triple and quadruple park in the old building, sometimes park across the street, and crossing six lanes of Club Drive in peak traffic is Russian roulette. But we are very excited because we're going to actually see a vision fulfilled. We are adding a full-time charity dental practice to our location. Gwinnett does not have a meaningful charity dental service. Many dentists are kind-hearted, and they'll do an occasional poor patient, uninsured patient in their practice, but it doesn't meet the need. We think there's 70,000 uninsured people needing dental care in the county that we want to serve, and we're going to start doing that in August.
Greg, I want to ask the question that was the first thing to pop into my mind, and I'm sure it's the first thing to pop into a lot of people's mind, and this is not meant to be political in any way, shape, or form. You guys serve underinsured and uninsured.
Right.
It was my understanding, it's been my understanding, that the Affordable Care Act was supposed to bring insurance so that everybody could have insurance. So where's the disconnect? And who are, so what causes it that there are still lots of people that need your services?
Good question. The talking point is that everyone should have insurance, but the details are that there are many exemptions where small employers would not be required to provide health insurance to their employees. And individuals based on their financial circumstances might apply for a hardship exemption. So even though there's a law that says you have to be insured, if you are in financial hardship because of student loan debt or mortgage debt, that you may not be required to pick up an insurance policy. So there are several legal ways to be uninsured. The benefit of the Affordable Care Act does not extend to undocumented residents. So we know that there's quite a number of those throughout the country, not just in Gwinnett County. Those individuals cannot be insured. And then the other thing, you might appreciate this, one of the, what was supposed to be the magic of the bill is that there is an incentive to become insured. And that incentive is if you don't get insured, you have to pay a portion of your taxes and a penalty. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that that penalty is more affordable than the premiums mm-hmm. if you are an individual buyer. So we see people that elect to be uninsured because it's more affordable to them on a cash flow basis just to pay the tax penalty than it is to carry the premium.
We're talking with Greg Lang. He's the executive director with Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett. What about your staff, Greg? The doctors, you know, you're adding the dental practice, so now you're talking about dentists. Are these full-time employees? Are these volunteers that come over from their practices? Talk about the staff.
I have an HR nightmare. when I'm coming up on my fifth anniversary. When I started there 5 years ago, I had four part-time employees. Today, I have 21 employees, a combination of full and part-time, and I have 450 volunteers. So I have a lot of names and birthdays to remember. We keep a very low overhead, so I try to use part-time employees as much as I can. My professionals are part-time, so anyone that carries a license that are big-ticket earners, I use them on a part-time basis and then supplement them with volunteers. And we are going to hire, we're currently hiring additional reception and medical assistant staff just to help with what we think will be our added volume in the new location. But because we've never had a dental practice before, I've not had any of those professionals on our payroll, and we are hiring. We've made our first hire, and we're interviewing for individuals in the dental hygiene and the dental assistant fields. And we hope to staff completely with volunteer dentists because that is a very expensive position to hire. So we hope to do volunteers, but we're prepared to supplement if necessary, you know, with part-time or contract people based on the volume of volunteers we have.
Let me follow up the question then, Greg. What would you say to the person that says, well, wait a minute, you know, a lot of volunteers, part-timers and so forth. How good can the level of care actually be? Talk about the level of care people can expect when they walk through your doors.
Well, thank you for that question. Gives me a chance to boast a little bit. We are the only privately funded charity practice in Georgia that has a national accreditation as a patient-centered medical home. This is a very expensive credential to pursue. It's a three-year accreditation for our program. It's something that a lot of organizations that are for-profit desire and go for because there are financial incentives. If you get this accreditation, you might get higher levels of reimbursement. And that's particularly true for federal reimbursement. We have no such incentive because we don't bill anyone. We don't file insurance. We don't get paid by the government. We don't get paid by a commercial insurance carrier. So we went after that credential just to be able to say, we do good work. We do such good work that we can get accredited and recognized for that work, but we have no benefit for doing so other than to be able to say we do good work.
I have to confess, when he said we went after it so that we could say, the first thing I thought was so that they could say nay, 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 boo, boo. And, you know, but clearly they still have good in their heart to do what they're doing. So let me ask, I don't know if it's a follow-up question, but so someone who comes in and gets service, you do not bill insurance. Is everything completely free? Is it pay what you can, when you can? How do you work with? Because obviously, nonprofit, there are capital drives, and you've talked about that. But what are the patients? What's their responsibility?
So you know that not for profit is not a business model; it is a tax status.
Correct.
Okay? We must make money in order to have longevity. We cannot do what we do without cash reserves. So it is not a free clinic. We do charge fees. They're very simple. We charge $25, $50, or $75, depending on how sick you are. So it's sort of like a you know, a fixed payment system. We do an assessment. We think about how much care you need, how many resources we need to bring to the table, and then we're going to ask you to pay one of those three fees. And the nice thing about that fee arrangement is that if you do what we ask you to do, you demonstrate the improvement that we believe that you'll get from following our instructions, you can make your care less expensive, because when you become
well,
less complex, mm-hmm. when you become well, we discount the fees. And you could eventually be seen for $25, and you can meet with a doctor or a physician assistant and receive the care that you need.
Sometimes when there's nonprofits and they're working with, in this case, uninsured, and by that, by extension, we are talking about people in financial hardship. You mentioned that yourself. Sometimes there's a requirement to prove financial hardship. Is that a concern? Is that something you guys try to do? What's
a couple of things. First, we do not turn you away because you earn too much. Okay. Because you might make $100,000, but if you need dialysis, mm-hmm. you have cancer, mm-hmm. it's very expensive if you're paying cash for it.
Correct.
So we don't turn you away based on your income. However, we require you to substantiate your income, because it is our objective to serve the poor, not those that can't afford to do something else, but they
are trying to take advantage of
the system.
Bargain
shopping.
Absolutely.
Right, right. So we know from reviewing the records that we receive, we ask for checking statements, tax returns, Department of Labor documentation, such and so forth. We know that the average household income last year was just less than $18,500.
Of your patients.
That's the average household income of a household with 4.2 people in it.
Wow.
So we're talking about poor people.
Wow.
And for them to spend $50 is, you know, a hardship at times. And we do have the ability to discount our fees if we need to do that. We have donors that give us what we call scholarship money. And if someone needs care and can't afford it, we can provide them with a discount. Our business model is that patient fees pay the salaries and donors pay everything else. A lot of people want to give money, but they don't want to give to labor because they think, well, you might be paid too much, you should volunteer. This is just the frank truth about it. So we manage the business in such a way that what the patients leave on the table pays the staff, and what the donors send in the mail covers, you know, supplies, utilities, right. Insurance, et cetera.
We're having a conversation about the Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett with the organization's executive director, Greg Lang. And Greg, let me make a little sports analogy here. Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, for 50 plus years had never won anything in professional sports. That just ended with the Cavaliers winning the NBA title. So now I think the city's kind of having an identity crisis. What now? For the past several years, the 5 years you've been with Good Samaritan, you've been working on raising the money for the new location, the big building. So now all this is coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now what's next? Now you're moving into the building, and now what do you do?
There's no doubt it's going to be a challenge to meet the demand that comes in. I mean, there's just unmet dental demand in this community. Today, we refer people to downtown Atlanta, to Marietta, to go to dental services, and there are very long waits. I might have mentioned on one of the previous shows that the Georgia Dental Association hosts a biannual weekend of free dental care. And it was in Norcross 3 years ago. And there were 1,800 people that got served. And there were 2,000 people that got turned away because they could only take care of so many. So we know that when we start taking appointments, we're going to be full. Now, I've never run a dental practice before. I'm doing this entirely on faith. And I've got to figure this out as we go. I think that we're going to recruit dental volunteers, but it's going to be a challenge. So I'm going to stay busy just making the new operation work.
Is there anything that you have not received yet that you would hope, okay, I really would like to get this, that's kind of next on the list? You got the building, the dental practice, and so forth. What's on your wish list?
Well, dental volunteers is the biggest need right now, especially dentists. I have dental assistants and dental hygienists volunteering, but not enough dentists yet, and we want to bring as many of those in as I can so that I don't have to hire somebody. After that, we think that we're going to just look at what are the unmet medical needs in the county and try to take care of that. We don't have a low-cost dialysis clinic in Gwinnett County. I'm not saying that we're ready to do it, but it's the kind of thing that we're going to think about. What is it what are the needs that today we have to raise our hands and say, I'm sorry, you have to go downtown. You got to go to Grady to try to find dialysis today. And that clinic sort of opens and closes based on the benevolence of Fulton County and DeKalb County. Is that the right thing for us to do in our county? You know, so we're going to look at what are the unmet needs and try to decide, can we safely do that in an environment staffed with volunteers without 24-hour availability of physicians and so forth? And, you know, so I just throw a dialysis out as an example. Please don't think I'm ready to do that. But, it, you know, it's the kind of questions that we're asking.
Greg, I'm going to ask a question that might show some ignorance, but apart from your facility, are there opportunities and relationships with other physicians and other physician offices and dental offices away from your facility? Are there opportunities for those people beyond volunteering at your facility? Mm-hmm. Is there ways for them to partner to help meet the medical need in the community?
Absolutely. We call it volunteer in place. Yes. So there are, I mentioned dentists earlier that are generous enough to see the occasional patient in their practice. And likewise, there are physicians throughout Gwinnett County that say, I love what you do. I want to help you. I can't, you know, leave my office to come spend a day with you, but I'll take your referrals. And if they come from you with, you know, your letterhead and whatnot, we will treat them as though we were at your location. So we have 25, 30 doctors in the county that will see patients for us on a lower cost arrangement. And I'd love to have more of those because we don't cover every specialty that we have right. A need for. But that's a great way for someone to help us who says, I can't close my office, but I can take a patient a week.
Right.
And, you know, we have to do some education to the patient about what it's going to be like. We help that physician office understand what our patient expectations are because, you know, they're not very experienced consumers of healthcare, so they don't always know what to do when they get there. But that's a wonderful way for physicians to help us.
I was just sitting here thinking you are talking about the blessing of multiplying your space by a factor of four. Mm-hmm. How fantastic would it be to multiply your relationships of other offices in the Gwinnett County area by a factor of four or better? And I love that. And you said you're a nonprofit, so you operate under some different, you run your business differently than a mm-hmm. for-profit business. Those for-profit businesses have margin.
Right.
So why not use up some of your margin to give back to the community?
Right, right.
Greg, congratulations on the relocation, and thank you for coming back to kind of give us an update of where things stand. For those that want to know more, give us the website, any other information you'd like to share, and let our listeners know how can they help as well.
The website is goodsamgwinnett.org. We also have links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts on that website. You can sign up for our newsletter where we will let you know of events and our volunteer needs.
Hours are listed on there as well.
Hours, services, et cetera. It's a very, very deep website. And the way that people could help us, one, if you have time that you would like to contribute, we can use interpreters, primarily Spanish, but we see a good Asian population as well. So if you speak Korean, Thai, Vietnamese, Chinese, you want to come in and spend some time helping us serve that community, that's great. Medical professionals, dental professionals, of course, folks that would like to do administrative work. We're going to have a lot to do in our new facility. And if you can do none of the above, but you like what we do, we'll be grateful to receive a check. $50 will cover a medical visit for someone. So if you want to give, our average patient is a 42-year-old mom. And if you'd like to help her to come in and be taken care of, $50 will cover that for her.
And don't forget, 5949 Buford Highway.
That's correct.
Norcross, Georgia, 30071, starting July.
We're going to open the doors for business on July 25. We'll move in on the 18th, start seeing patients on the 25th.
You're allowed a week to get the facility ready.
I hope we can do it in a week.
And that's 2016 for our listeners listening to the podcast. Muchas gracias, Greg Lang. Bueno interview-o.
Stop now.
Oh, I left Greg speechless
my
after
pleasure.
That.
Yeah.
Great to see you as always. Thanks a lot.
Had a great interview and then that.
What I maybe I can be a translator
if
for
I had him. Learned a new language earlier in my youth, yeah, it would have been great. You
absolutely
know, we old guys don't absorb those so well.
as Stephen will tell you, and the producers around us as well, I have trouble with the English language, much less any other language out there. So all right, Greg Lang, executive director, Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett. Stephen,
Mike, I want you to know we still love you. And we've said often on this show that love is what makes a Subaru. But today, I want to go beyond that and talk about the Subaru Love Promise. Do you know what the Subaru Love Promise is?
No, tell me, Steve.
The Subaru Love Promise is a promise to do right by our community by partnering with nonprofit education, health, community, environment, and animal organizations to set Subaru apart through our deeds and the deeds of our partners. To be unlike any other car company by doing what is right and good just for the sake of doing it. That's one of the other things we have in our partnership with Subaru of Gwinnett.
Well said.
And I own a Subaru.
There you go.
There you go.
And he loves it.
The thing about Subarus, I found out, you can't, if you want to buy a pre-owned Subaru, you can't.
You can't. No.
They don't exist because they last so long, nobody ever wants to give them away. I never realized that.
I lived almost 3.5 years in Montana. There is no greater car company in the state of Montana than Subaru. Everyone loves their Subaru, and they never give it up, and they keep it and pass it on to their kids and go buy a new one.
That's great. All right. Our next guest here on the program, Jay Moran from Followed Social Media for Business. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Followed Social Media for Business. You're obviously involved in social media, but give us a broad overview of what your company does and what you do.
Yeah, well, I just want to take a second and acknowledge Greg with Good Samaritan. What an amazing organization. And thank you for your service and for running it.
Thank you very much. I'm grateful to hear that.
You know, Mike, every day there's this cocktail party happening. And if you're a business owner and you're not at this cocktail party, you're missing sales opportunities and referral opportunities. And do you guys know where this cocktail party is happening?
At Business Radio X. Oh, wait, sorry. That wasn't the answer he was looking for.
I don't know,
but
I'm afraid I'm missing it. Where is it?
It's happening here, and it's also happening on social media. So for a low fixed monthly price of $135 a month, we take social media off the marketing to-do list of busy business owners so they can focus on the things they like best, which is serving their customers.
Okay. So, for example, Business Radio X, we have programs and so forth. You would help get our word out there, the name out there on multiple platforms?
Yes, absolutely. We like to start on Facebook because that's really where the most users are. And we post very consistently. So we're going to give you one post a day. And a lot of that is going to come from doing an interview with you and figuring out who your target audience is and what types of things really prompt them to really want your service and refer you to their friends.
How big is social media as far as, how important is social media might be the better question for businesses. I know a lot of business people I know, they do the billboards, they do the radio, they do the television, the kind of the old school advertising. It seems to me that if you're not doing the social media, I mean, you're not just missing the cocktail party, as you say, but you're missing an entire generation.
Right. You really want to be accessible to them. And to kind of give you an example, we work with a fitness center, and we'll post information about different classes they have, different health improvement plans they have. And people will ask questions like, what other class do you have that's similar to this? Or, you know, I'm really out of shape. How can I get started? And so that's where the fitness director can jump back in and say, you know, that's really great. You want to get started. Here's something you can do to get started now. So it really engages people more on a one-to-one basis, where those other types of marketing and promotions are really like one-to-many.
Yeah. The reason you call it a cocktail party is because you're helping business owners have conversations with people through their social media. You say you start with Facebook. How far can this reach? Can you, for that 139, does that just cover Facebook? Do you go to other platforms as well? Kind of talk about the next steps after you start with Facebook.
Right. Well, for some businesses, Facebook is going to be perfectly fine just by itself. For other businesses, for example, realtors, they are also going to want to be on LinkedIn, especially businesses that are into the B2B space. LinkedIn is going to be very important for them. If you're in the business consumer space, you can get away with really just Facebook, because, you know, there's over 1 billion people log into Facebook every single day. 66% of their users actually log in every single day. So it's by far the biggest reach you're going to get. Even if you have a really unique business, you're going to find tons of people that are in your target market on Facebook.
Social media, though, Jay, it's always evolving, always changing. Facebook may be the thing today. Tomorrow may be something else. I was thinking about it last night while I was working on my MySpace page. Is that what it used to be called? MySpace, right?
MySpace is
You were
is
working
great.
On your Etch-a-Sketch. What are you talking about?
Okay, exactly. You caught me there. But you've got to stay on top of the trends, don't you?
You do. And you have to use the platform that you enjoy most, too. I always tell business owners, if they hate doing something, then don't do it. Focus on what you really enjoy. If, you know, your business peers are on LinkedIn, start there and, you know, take it one step at a time. So really start in the place that you're most comfortable and then kind of build on that.
One of the things I've observed, and I could be dead wrong, and you get a chance to tell me that. You won't be the only one to tell me that today. This last hour.
I'm telling you right now, you're dead wrong. I don't even know what you're going to ask, but you're dead wrong.
I think some business owners a little too much, Mike. I think some business owners look at social media and think one of two things. Number one, they say, Jay, you seem like a great guy. You sound like you know what you're doing. I've tried something before and it failed. So they're thinking, how do I see the results if I hire you? And I think the other side of the coin is some of them might admit that whole thing just kind of scares me and I don't even know where to start. So answer one or both of those.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. And it's really all about managing the expectations. Really what happens is small business owners, they're really trying to get new customers. And so they'll focus there first instead of really taking care of their current customers. So we find when we get businesses to focus on their current customers, really serve them with information that will help them, whether that person comes into their store or buys their service or not, is just giving them value that they can use today or inspiring them, making them feel good. That's going to make that person more likely to buy from you again and to refer friends to you. And that's really all about. It's about taking care of sort of the low-hanging fruit of taking care of your customers and getting your customers to refer their friends to you.
Jay Moran's our guest with Followed Social Media for Business. Social media, though, kind of started out more being personal, a way for you to, you know, post your pictures of you on the beach or your family or whatever. But it sounds like more and more it's becoming a business thing now for businesses. Talk about that to that business leader says, that's not what social media is supposed to be used for.
Right. Well, you know, businesses do play an important role in conversations, and it's really all about humanizing yourself. You know, as consumers or just, you know, private citizens on Facebook, we want to connect with people that are important to us, that inspire us, and that help us in our lives. And business owners are that people. They're really leaders in the community. And individuals want to connect with those people. So it's seeing past the logo and really personalizing it, making you very approachable as a person. Because ultimately, people want to buy from people. They don't want to buy from logos.
Are there types of businesses that I know... You could probably work with any business, but are there types of businesses that are just low-hanging fruit for you? That are, man, if I could get in front of every restaurant owner, boy, I could really help them. So what are some of the target markets for you? And I will ask the other side of that question. Are there any types of businesses that you would go, yeah, these are not necessarily the best fit?
Right. So really a great customer first is someone like a realtor. So they're a professional. They really do have their own business, even though they may work in a realty brokerage firm. But they're really responsible for going out and getting their own leads and then selling to those people. So, and especially realtors, people expect that they're going to be, that realtor is going to be marketing their home like everywhere, including social media. So if you're a realtor and you're not on social media, you're at a huge disadvantage just by people's perception of what you can do on networking and marketing.
And some of those realtors might be thinking, I work for Realty Company X, which is a big company, and they do this and they do that. But you're talking about really standing out and having a personal conversation about that that person, separating themselves even from everybody else at their firm.
That's exactly right. And also stay in touch with those customers after you sell their home or put them in a new home. A lot of times, you know, people lose touch with their realtor. So just constantly sort of giving them messages week over week of things that just may inspire them or make them laugh or give them a good tip of how to, you know, change a battery in your smoke detector.
A lot more than getting the calendar once a year, right?
Exactly.
You're going beyond that and making it more personal.
Jay, can you give us an example or tell us a story of a company that really uses social media properly and right, and it's really taken their company to a whole new level?
All of his clients. I mean, that's the easy answer. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your story there.
No, that's exactly right. And a lot of business owners feel like they don't have anything unique or interesting to offer. But there's this company called Maersk, and they're an ocean freight shipping company. And they were also very late to social media. They really didn't think they were interesting. It was B2B. They didn't think anyone in Facebook would even be a customer. But they did have this trove of these really amazing photos that amateur photographers that were crew members on these ships would take, of like a 100-foot wave crashing down on a ship or the ship pulling into an exotic port. And so they just started posting those images. They turned out to be wildly popular. Now Maersk has over 1 million followers, and they actually do get leads now from executives and decision makers who are also on Facebook, who really just enjoy looking at the photos. So it will work for really any business.
Okay, so it's never too late. Again, there may be a company out there, an old school thinking, it's too late for us now. We've missed the boat. No pun intended. We've missed the boat. But it's never too late, is what I'm hearing.
No, it's never too late. And everyone starts from zero followers and goes from there. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. It's really about how engaged you are with those people.
Now, Mike, it is too late for your MySpace page, but it's not too late for your Facebook page.
I just spent hours on it last night, and nobody's looking at it. I just don't get it.
That and you worry about the people on your speed dial, that you're still on the who's number five on my speed dial, or am I number one on someone's speed dial at their home phone.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now that Steven's done, Jay, beating up on me, tell us how folks can reach out to you. I'm assuming you're probably on social media. We could probably find a website or a Twitter account or a Facebook account or something. I'm guessing.
That's right. Okay. You can find us on followed.io. That's our website. All our social media is followed.io, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, wherever. And what we do is sort of unique in that we remove all the friction that you would normally have to go through working with a traditional marketing agency. So they can literally just sign up for the plan that's right for them on our website, and they can get started right away. We give them some steps to start following so that we have the information we need to craft their first post.
You know, Jay, if you had a warped sense of humor like me and Steven, you would have said, oh, no, I don't do social media.
That's what we were thinking.
complete amateur.
Now, I'm going to show my ignorance. What is the I.O.? Followed.io. What does the I.O. stand for?
Well, you know, as you probably know, it's really hard to get it's hard to get a good .com name. And I really wanted the dictionary word. .io stands for Indian Ocean. And so top level domain that's controlled by Great Britain for the Indian Ocean. So nice. A lot of new companies are sort of latching on to .io as a way to get a more memorable name.
Yeah. Now, on all your social media, Facebook and all that, there's no dot. It's just followed and then letter I, letter O.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, exactly. Followed.io.
I can't. Because I would have been the guy to go followed E-Y-E-O-H.
You really didn't know what I-O stood for?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, in and out, in out burger, that's what I thought.
I had no
exactly
clue.
On
I had no clue either side.
Well, I know you didn't.
Of course. All right. Speaking of which, thank you, Jay, for joining us, by the way. I appreciate you coming in and talking all about followed social media for business. Best of luck and wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much.
All right. Steven?
Really, the question is, are we going to follow him now? So it's past tense, followed. We probably do. Anyway.
My new website is also has I-O in it, E-I-E-I-O.
Nice. Well done. Mike, speaking of friends of the show, which you weren't, but that's okay. Friend of our show is Faratech.
I'm going to rip you on my space page, I'll tell you.
And on your Etch-A-Sketch, you're going to write notes about me. Faratech, did you know that Faratech is the sponsor of this show? You did know that. And I hope Faratech is your one source for all toner suppliers, printers, copiers, and computers. Whether you need service or repair on your hardware or you are looking to find the best price and quality on toner supplies, Faratech has a skilled and knowledgeable team to help you and your company. Contact them today to see how they can help you. They're waiting for your call. Your call, Mike, and everybody else's call at 770-582-1188.
Big shout out to our friends at Faratech as well. Not only do they underwrite this show, but the Gwinnett Chambers monthly show Open for Business, which is once a month as well. All right. Great job, Steven. Welcome back. I'm so excited to have you back that this here is for you.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Got to walk that aisle, get the 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
Saw him at Starbucks a couple days ago.
We're going to have him on a show one day. And we're going to play that while he's here on the show.
But before that happened, I am so glad that today that we had Greg and Jay, because they are... you know, part of the four horsemen.
They are the men.
They are absolutely.
The men. Woo! Again, big thank you to Greg Lang with Good Samaritan Health Center of Gwinnett and to Jay Moran with Followed Social Media for Business.
Remember, you can always listen to this show or any of our shows at GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com.
Follow us on social media.
Yeah, we have a MySpace page. No, we don't have a MySpace. No. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on a lot of platforms that Jay would be proud of us. Gwinnett Business Radio X. And you can follow us on YouTube as well. We have a YouTube channel.
Yay!
You can see this craziness at YouTube, Business Radio X dash Gwinnett.
Just search business. YouTube is the number 2 search engine in the world. Just search Gwinnett Business Radio.
Great. Steven, I'll see you next time.
I hope so. If you haven't fired me again.
Don't push your luck here.
That's right.
For Daniel and Z and Trey and the rest of the crowd here, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
We need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.